I want to tell you about my friend Patti. She stands just over 5 feet tall, but she claims the full attention of the crowd in a matter of seconds. Growing up in Chile under the Pinochet regime, she has seen a level of violence, cruelty, and widespread oppression that would make many people go numb. Instead, Patti has responded with a passion for reclaiming life. Her grin, her endless energy, and her constant laughter quickly spread to those around her. Such contagious optimism on this particular afternoon is not easy, though. Patti is standing in the cafeteria of a women's prison, surrounded by a group of about 24 inmates. Sitting to the side is a group of hesitant students from a nearby college, involved as part of a class on the prison system. It's company that would make many of us rather uncomfortable, yet Patti is completely in her element. She jokes with the group, speaks with them honestly, and engages them fully. She invites them to play theater games, which little by little break the ice. Several people find they all detest raw onions. Two more, one an inmate and the other a student, learn they hold a favorite singer-songwriter in common. Slowly, the tension subsides, and they begin to dig deeper and tell their stories. Some funny, some heartbreaking, all tremendously raw and vulnerable. People lean forward, listening intently, connecting, respecting. The students and inmates continue to meet a few afternoons each week, each time drawing closer together as they trade stories, and under Patti's direction, weave those stories into an original theater production. After a huge amount of work, the night of their one and only performance finally arrives, and the cafeteria has been transformed into a makeshift theater. I arrive early, anticipating the long wait for security clearance, and take my seat in the audience. What unfolds before my eyes is not the most polished piece of theater that I've seen, but the truth in it is breathtaking. As the stories of these women take shape before me, I realize, somewhat uncomfortably, that despite my best detective skills, I'm having a hard time telling which people in the production are students and which are inmates. The whole group joins in acting out each other's lives, stories of fear, loss, hardship, and remorse, but also stories of their hope as they begin to heal together. Slowly, the boundaries I had been intent on maintaining between them, and indeed the boundaries that they clung to when they first met, fade away to the point that I can no longer make them out. These Ivy Leaguers and prisoners, unlikely match that they are, have managed to step through countless walls to reach each other. As they break through their divisions, they yank the audience along for the ride, pulling us into their common stories. At the beginning of our gospel passage today, we hear of divisions not unlike those created by the walls of the prison. The time of judgment has come, and we are separated, just as the shepherd separates the goats from the sheep. These verses speak of a stark dichotomy, painting a picture of a black and white world where we humans can easily be split, the good from the bad. Those who lived righteously and served the least of these will be welcomed into the glorious reign of Christ, while those who didn't can expect eternal fire, desolation, perhaps some weeping and gnashing of teeth for dramatic effect. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? It is simple and conveniently neat and tidy, except for that it's not true, at least not the way we tend to hear it. You see, sheep and goats can actually be rather difficult to tell apart, especially after they die. A friend of mine and fellow resident at the parish house worked as an archaeologist before coming to seminary. He shared with me that he and his colleagues would joke about the mythical sheep goat that they were constantly uncovering on their digs. As it turns out, the bones of the two animals are so similar, they could just as well be interchangeable. We draw tight boundaries of who is in the fold and who doesn't make the cut. But perhaps when all is said and done, the divisions we create will fade away. This confusing mix of sheep and goats pops up again in the latter part of our gospel today, when Jesus says some things that really muddle the neatly organized partitions we've constructed to divide our communities. Those in prison are often thought of as the goats, right? Those who have done wrong, who have let down society, who we have effectively banished to the outer darkness. They're behind bars, out of sight, out of mind. The least of these. And yet, these are precisely the people Jesus is telling us to visit, to serve, to embrace. He is telling us that it is in these people, the ones we would call goats, that he dwells. It is in these people that we can meet and serve Christ. These people, the ones we as a society have shut away and tried to forget, God is still going after them. Just as Ezekiel tells us, like a shepherd who searches out every lost sheep to bring it back into the fold. The lost, the shunned, the injured, the ones we'd rather not see, God is relentlessly reaching out to them. And we, Jesus teaches, are to do the same. As I watched that performance behind all the locked doors, razor wire, and alarms, I was captivated as the invisible walls that divided us began to crumble. As the women and students claimed their stories together, we in the audience were drawn into their hard work of transformation. As the show went on, they led me to dismantle the divisions I was trying so hard to construct. I stopped trying to figure out who was who, as scene by scene, they showed me how their story was, in fact, my story also. The performance ended, but before leaving the makeshift stage, the cast immediately began to celebrate their success, erupting in cheers, trading congratulations, and converging into massive group hugs. I had no idea who was who, but it no longer mattered. In a dramatic shift from their first day together, it was clear that they didn't care either. Turning back to the gospel with that jubilant scene lingering in my mind, Jesus' words begin to take on a new shape. When we serve the least of these, he tells us, we are serving him. When we reach out to connect with the stranger, when we set a distractions aside to care for the sick, when we make the journey to visit those in prisons, there Jesus resides as well. He dwells in the people that society would cast aside as goats, making his home among those we have largely forgotten. We are all made in God's image, certainly, but Jesus tells us that it is in the least of these that we are most likely to meet him. I arrived at the prison that evening with a clear expectation of how the world is divided up, this sheep to the right, that goat to the left, and so on. What I encountered instead was actually that mythical sheep goat from my friend's days in archaeology, the realization that it's never as black and white as we might wish. As those inmates and students told their stories together, I could see that there was so much more connecting us than there was forcing us apart, even with all that cement and razor wire hiding the inmates from the outside world. Jesus is in the least of these. Just as he broke bread with outcasts and sinners in his own day, that is where we find him today. He is present in those awkward initial conversations, the budding relationships, the commitments to dig in deeper together. We may not even realize what's happening as we listen to prisoners or timidly welcome a stranger, but there he is in one another, and in the midst of us. Christ dwells in our relationships, in our risks, in our reaching out to one another. We meet Christ when we make ourselves vulnerable enough to come together. When we live into these relationships, we are, in fact, living into the reign of Christ.